This is section 11, and what we're going to be talking about basically is our cash flow sheet or a cash flow section. And this one right here, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going through the profit and loss statement, pulling the information off this to find out what our net profit is. In addition to looking at the net profit that we have on the profit and loss statement, we're going to build back in the different perks and benefits that the owner's taken out, keeping in mind that when you start to look at these, on the first side, we're going to start to take it from the seller's standpoint and analyze the profit and loss statement, find out how much money is available to pay the debt service or pay the loans. And then as we flip over the page, you're going to find that we're going to convert it to the buyer's side. So it enables us on the sheet very simply with this line chart to analyze the profit and loss, add items back in, find out how much money we have available in the company that we're buying or selling or whatever, and back out the payments, consider the tax ramifications, and look at it from the buyer side. So we're converting it from seller to buyer side. Now, if you're going through this section first, what I suggest you do is go back, and before you cover this section, do go back through the section on profit and loss statement. And if you haven't reviewed it recently, I'd go back and look at that section first. I also would go back to the section on pricing where we talk about this, because there's additional information in the pricing section. And then go to this. Now, many, many years ago, a person on my staff of a company that where I bought companies for my own account, I developed a line chart like this. He was an engineering type person. And again, it was a very simple form and didn't have a lot of information on it. And although we sent forms out like that to a lot of people we were working with and used it in our short programs, in our regular seminar, we never used the other form because we didn't think it was important enough or good enough to use to help people that were trying to crawl along to either buy or start a business. Then a couple of years ago, we finally sat down and developed one that we felt would help people that were knowledgeable and not knowledgeable to understand where they were going and what they were getting in business as a buyer, as a seller, to understand where they were going, selling, and also so they could see what the buyer was going to be looking like. Because as a buyer, you want to know what your cash flow is and how everything works out dollar-wise. In other words, that you have enough left over, that the financing can work. From a seller standpoint, you'd like to know this also so you can make sure the person buying it, if you're carrying back financing, can make the payments and do it safely and have a number of dollars of cash left over. So it's had a lot of benefits. It also helps us and you, because what happens is if you just use these sheets and use them faithfully, you're going to find it's going to kill a lot of transactions that you'd normally work on as buyer or seller. And all it's going to do is save you a lot of money. It's going to save you from failure. Over the years, I've educated a lot of people, and the biggest problem I've had is trying to get people to follow what we teach. And what I've done in my frustration is I've gone back to the forms and the controls we've built in, or what we teach, hoping that you'll follow them. Why do we do it that way? If I can't get you to listen to me, then in the forms and the controls I set up for you to use in buying or starting a business, I try to build a little Hamill voice in there to keep reminding you that you don't want to do this, or you're going on the wrong path, because I can't be there with you every minute to guide you. Now, in the right-hand corner on 11.1, you have a price. And what we find here is the owner wants $400,000 for this company. He wants $100,000 down. Again, that's a standard in the United States. I don't know why. But about 25% down is a normal on this size business. You're going to find the owner under terms will go 20 years. And he wants 10%. In other words, he wants $100,000 down. And he then will finance the rest, the $300,000, over what period? 20 years at 10% interest. Now, we also noticed that the cash flow, P&L, was from January 1, 1980X, and that's right in the middle of the sheet, to December 31st, 1980X, because we want to know what the year is. And you're also going to find you may make this up for a couple of years to see what it looks like. You may make it up for the last 3 years to see what the cash flow would have looked like with you in there, and maybe you're going to project ahead as to what it's going to look like. Maybe your sales are going to stay constant, go down, or go up. So it gives you a chance to do a lot of things, and again, this is why we call it a worksheet. Let's start in the first part here and start in the left-hand corner, the upper left-hand side. And you're going to find we have a thing called sales income. Now, sales income, as you look at the profit and loss statement, would say it makes $500,000 a year. Not makes. That had sales of $500,000. So last year, we took in $500,000. So we put that on the first line. Now, in the second line, we're going to do a thing called subtracting. We're going to take the cost of sales and subtract it. And you've done this on the profit and loss and the examples we've given you. And you also have done this on pricing. So we have sales minus cost of sales gives us what over to the right, looking at a little line chart? $300,000. Now, in the beginning, it's going to take you a while to get used to using this form. But once you start to use it for a while, you're going to find it's going to become very simple. And you're also going to find it simplifies your explanation with a buyer, with a seller, with a broker. And also when you go to the bank or your lending institution to borrow money, they can understand this. And once they see this, you're going to find they start using the same type form. Why? Because it's so simple and it spells the whole thing out. It also enables you to base the purchase of the business or financing on what it really makes. And we're not basing it then on what the profit and loss statement shows, because we know the profit and loss does not reflect what it really makes. So we have a gross profit of $300,000. If you'll then go down to the other section, down about 2 inches from the top, you'll see on the first part of the line, it's talking about manager's salary. And we find the manager then is being paid $30,000 a year. We also have a little thing in there, a question to ask you. Is there going to be an increase? In other words, in buying it, are you going to have to pay an increase? Now, as you look at this, also keep in mind on this left-hand side, we're looking at it from what? From the seller's standpoint. So this is the seller's analysis, from seller looking at it or the buyer analyzing where he or she is starting. In other words, this is what the buyer or seller is showing you. We're going to adjust it a little to find out what we have, and then we're going to convert it back to the buyer's side so the buyer can find out as he go or she goes into that business what he or she is going to have. The next thing we have is a rent $10,000. Again, the reason we isolate that, we've talked about this in other tape, was the fact that a lot of times the real estate is owned by the owner of the business, and when you're in there buying it, you decide not to take over that real estate at this time. Maybe you have an option to purchase. What you end up doing then a lot of times is to forget to build back in the rent. In other words, the other owner was making X number of $100,000 a year, and now you're going to find that you have forgotten to make the adjustment, because the owner only showed that figure because they weren't paying rent. What you have to do is make the adjustment. I just wanted to remind you again. In this example, we don't have the problem because what happens is the owner is paying rent, $10,000, to another person. Other expenses, the next line down there, is nothing but the area to make the numbers add up. Why? Because we're trying to isolate the manager's salary so that you know, and this is an example, that the person analyzing pushed back in all the owner's perks and subtracted out expenses. And as you subtract these from the gross profit up above of $300,000, what do we end up with? We end up with total expenses of $250,000. And if we were just to subtract those now, because we had total expenses here at $250,000, what would our profit show? What would the profit loss show? Yeah, it would show $50,000. And we'd go out to buy the business based on $50,000. And again, if you look over at the debt service you're going to have, it wouldn't look very good. This would be a dog. Okay, because it wouldn't show. So let's start analyzing the rest of it and see what we have here. So let's go right down the line in the middle under the $250,000 expenses and start to add back in or subtract other items to show us what the profit really is. First of all, we could have other income. In this example, we didn't. We'd either build it back in. We'd build it back in. Now we're going to add back in depreciation or ACRS. Now in pricing, we were adding back in depreciation for a reason that had to do with the fact that we were going to determine what the true wasting of assets or the return we had to pay ourselves in pricing. In this example here, the reason we're building it back in is we're going to build it back in from the seller standpoint, because later what we're going to do is we're going to adjust it to find out what the new owner is going to do, the buyer. In this example right here, you have depreciation of $15,000 being taken by the seller, and you don't have to turn the page now, but you're going to find as we get into the other part of this, you're going to find this, the buyer, in working with the CPA, have found that their new depreciation schedule or ACRS is going to be about $50,000. So what we're doing is pushing it back in, because that's what the seller was doing. The buyer is going to take it from a different side. So we push that back in. The next thing is the interest we're talking about, because what we're going to do is build back in the interest here that the seller has been paying, because we want to have this free and clear. In other words, this is a net profit on an all cash sale, no assumption. What we're going to do later on the front part of the sheet, we're then going to, after we find out what our profit is, free and clear, we're then going to back out all the different loans we have, the loans that exist, and also any new loans you have. Okay, and we're doing it to simplify it and make it easier for you to analyze. You're going to find as you go below this, the seller's perks or benefits have come to about $50,000. If those of you don't remember, we're talking about perks being perquisites. And these are basically things that owners run through the business, some legitimate, some not legitimate. The thing I want to warn you on as you're putting this down, I want you to look at the bottom of the sheet, and it said, note, all information is from sources deemed reliable but is not guaranteed by agent. We use this in our brokerage form. The package is subject to price change, correction, error, omission, prior sale, and withdrawal. Why do we put all these disclaimers in there? Because we have not gone in, as CPAs generally, to verify the books on a full-blown audit. And since we're using information that's given to us, and sometimes it can be bad, what we're trying to tell you is, now you have basic information. As you buy this business, you're going to have your CPA go in before you close and before you take over. and have your CPAs check the books in detail to make sure the information is as represented by the seller. Is it often not as represented? Yes, that's why we have these checks. As we go over here, in this business, we don't have the seller taking a draw. The seller is only overseeing the business, in this example, and the manager is being paid $30,000, so we don't have that problem. Travel and transportation. We have $8,000 of transportation costs and travel costs that are excessive. Again, some of them are things that are legitimate write-offs. Other things may not be, as we discussed in the area on profit and loss statements. We had entertainment of $12,000. This was a company that did a lot of heavy entertaining. And as we looked at it, we found that $12,000 was excessive. Again, a lot of these things you're going to be digging out. In other areas, if owners have sold businesses before, they'll give you a list with all these things. Why? They're trying to show you the additional items of profit available to you, the buyer, because it increases the value. It also increases the amount of money that they as sellers get. Again, sometimes they're given to you verbally, but it is in the seller's best interest to give you the information. It's then up to you, the buyer, to verify it. I want to repeat, verify it and verify it again. The next thing is pension and profit sharing, and the owner of this business has been taking out pension and profit sharing from this company as their share. And incidentally, beware of pension and profit sharing, because a lot of times the number will be a lot larger and you include it here. And it represents a pension and profit sharing for everyone. You only put the pension and profit sharing here that relates to whom? The owner of the business or owners. The next thing is insurance. And this is the insurance, again, just like the example we had in the profit and loss. It comes up quite often where we have excessive insurance being taken as expense. Now keep in mind one thing we've mentioned before. And that is, when owners own small businesses and there is Mickey Mouse going on, there's usually Mickey Mouse going on skimming. They don't run the money through the books. As the business starts to get larger, we find on the average, it doesn't happen as often. It's not because the people are more honest. What it means is you have four or five people or three or four keeping the books, and it's very difficult for them to play these games. So what owners do is Mickey Mouse or play games with the expenses.
This concludes Side 1. To continue, please turn the cassette over.